Amanda, and to all of our listeners all over the quarantined, infected world, you are watching yet another edition of Let's Weekend. You're watching it with your ears, of course, which, you know, kind of works, I guess. Anyway, forget it happened, moving on. So this episode's going to be forward April 10th, 2020. I'm of course your host for the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always, Filippo Nanolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Logie. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Yo.
Hey. We are still all relatively healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are.
And it's now been about a month, I think. Since
there is no time, Brandon. There is no time.
Time is just something that we used to have when we used to actually go outside. Mm. But
no,
yeah.
See, I still work. I still work, so time still exists.
Yeah.
For me.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been about a month since we here in the United States finally realized that this shit wasn't just going to pass us over. Mm. And more than anything else, I think it's not so much things have gotten worse so much as things have kind of stabilized into monotony. And I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Mm. Well, as long as that monotony involves people staying the fuck home, I'll take it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The good news is that apparently, although infection numbers are still growing, the infection numbers themselves, the rate of their increasing is slowing down somewhat. Which would imply that we are – that all of these things we've actually been doing, you know, if we actually took them seriously, have actually been working. Hmm. For example, here in Jones County, we now have a reported 9 infections, and yet still no one has died from it.
Hmm. Yay.
So and this isn't necessarily just old people either. There's this one dude right here in Macon who got, because there's actually a story about him in our local newspaper, specifically about what it was like. Because he's like, yeah, I ended up getting it and I was fine like one day. And then the very next, it's like it took over my entire body.
Yeah.
And I ended up on a fucking respirator. Jeez. Yeah, it was just like out of the goddamn blue.
Yeah.
And this guy isn't old either. He's pretty young. Like, he might be in his mid-30s. He's like my age.
Yeah, it's not easy on a lot of people.
No. The good news is he's going to pull through. So, and, you know, the way things are going now, I'm expecting a good chunk of this stuff to start being rolled back probably by the time the summer rolls around. So probably late May, early June.
Yeah.
Seems like a pretty safe bet.
Once the heat comes up, you know, that sort of, medically speaking, heat is not really a very good environment for a virus to spread, because this virus can't really last that long on a warm surface.
Right.
Unfortunately, the bad news about that is it might mean that people end up getting complacent. And by the time, you know, October, November rolls around,
I'll get kicked in the face again.
Yeah. Unless, you know, we're smart and we realize that, you know, once we take early precautions beforehand.
Hmm.
But I guess we'll just really quick. Because, you know, like I said, it's not really dramatic anymore now. It's mostly just monotony. Let's just sort of say, like, what our sort of very quickly are. The general situation is in our area. So, Phil, how are things up in Canada right now?
Well, in my particular town, we haven't had a confirmed case. So,
well, that's good.
We're kind of lucky there, but we still have, like, a stay-at-home measures and stuff in place.
Yeah.
We're not,
good.
We're not taking any chances there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's... People are seeming to take it seriously for the most part, except for a couple of idiots. But there's always going to be a couple of idiots, and there seems to be...
Gee, I wonder what part of Canada they're all in.
Yeah. So, but for the most part, things seem to have kind of stabilized here. in general, our cases are going up, as they are mm-hmm. for pretty much everybody. But yeah, the rate doesn't seem to be as pronounced as it used to be, so it seems like something's going on.
Yeah, this to me was sort of like the key few weeks when we really saw, you know, what we're doing is actually having an effect, and apparently it is.
Yeah.
All right, so Pat, over in Utah, how are things? Other than the fact that there was that whole bunch of Mormon assholes that suddenly showed up.
Well, we just crossed the 2,000 confirmed cases mark. That's statewide. Among them, with the four announced today, we have crossed over into double digits on deaths with 13. But just given that the state of Utah is so rural, outside
and dry,
outside of like Ogden, Provo, and of course Salt Lake City, that's not really too surprising.
Yeah,
but again, there. It's like I've said in the past, there's been some stupidity going on as well, so I expect we're going to see a couple spikes here and there throughout the summer, just as things occur that are wont to happen in Utah when this sort of thing goes down.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Teresa, how are things in Illinois?
It doesn't feel like it's slowing down, looking at the number. Numbers, we're up to 597 deaths, and we have almost 18,000 cases. I know. My particular county, our counts are 4 days behind now. I don't know why they're not updating it, but I'm sure they're trying. But earlier this week, we had 1,009 cases in my county alone. So it still feels pretty hairy out there. I see a lot of face masks.
Yeah. Cloth, I hope.
Yeah. Actually, a lot of them. There are still some blue surgical ones running around. But yeah, most of them are homemade cloth ones. My cousin works at Christ Hospital, and I believe that's in city limits. Mm-hmm. And when I talked to her earlier this week, she said they had well over 200 COVID cases.
Yeah.
And all of the nurses there are relying on homemade PPE. They're relying on people, volunteers, who are making these cloth masks. So... a little scary.
So I'm guessing there's also a lot of folks in hospital wearing like swimming goggles and scuba shit like that too.
I do not know. I could have asked her, but
from what it sounds like, that's probably the case.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it's not really good. She generally does physical therapy, but. It's all hands on deck. I mean, I think I told you guys last week before we had our podcast, we had gotten like the Amber Alert thing on everybody's phone asking for everyone who has medical experience to check in now. Mm-hmm. So
that's encouraging.
Yeah. The work on converting the Stevenson Convention Center into a hospital is going along very quickly. Thanks to the Army Reserves. It's still kind of nuts. We went out today to do a little bit of car catching, playing Pokemon, because we all had the day off and so cooped up. I mean, so cooped up. And we drove by a drive-up testing facility and people in like damn near hazmat suits outside waiting for the next car full of sick people to show up and get tested. So there's a lot of, I guess, secondhand types of people who have it being reported, like somebody on Scott's floor in his open concept office is positive. My friend's dad was exposed because one of his workers ended up testing positive after he replaced a hot water heater in... a 3-flat that he owns and he rents out, and the teenage son of the tenants was sick. Well, guess what he was sick with? So, you know, it's getting to the point where a lot of us at least know somebody personally who has it. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of crazy, but I do tend to agree with you, Brandon. I think by the time Memorial Day rolls around, we're going to start winding down. But yeah, I don't know. The kids aren't going to go back to school. I don't think so.
No. Probably not until September.
Yeah.
At the earliest. If not August, which is probably what will end up happening here.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's crappy. It's just crappy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Chris, how are things in Ohio?
They seem to keep escalating. I believe last week had 89 deaths, and it's 227 this week. Which is like a 2.5 times increase, I believe.
I am.
5,800 cases. So still not as bad as a number of states, but I would still say not the greatest increase you want.
No.
There. Still seeing people just not paying attention and staying away from other people. Like the other day, we just had, like, for whatever reason, a bunch of people just came in at the same time, decided we're just all going to force ourselves in here and not wait, like stagger it out for whatever reason, which is not the smartest way to go about for a crowd.
No.
Yeah, it's not great. And just people are just fucking slobs, you know? You think the one thing we'd come out of this with is people picking up after themselves, making sure they're clean and all that shit. And I've seen far too many fucking nasty-ass gloves and masks left behind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here like, did I miss some part of growing up where these people were told they don't have to pick up after themselves? Like, where you just can't just stuff this stuff into your pocket and throw it away at home? If that's, like, what you need to do. I don't know. It's confused me. Just annoyed me. Because it's like, I don't want to touch your fucking nasty-ass gloves.
Yeah, right.
It's like, and all that's, the only bad part of the gloves, it's like it's just sweaty. Just,
yeah.
You've dealt with your sweat, I hope, many times. And are just like, it's icky. I don't know. It's annoying, but yeah, it's kind of just going. No idea what. I think the problem is, like, in most places, like, there's just not enough testing going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically growing as people get more tests. You know, which is the big problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wonderful.
Yep.
How about you, Brandon? How are you guys doing?
So funny story. Macon, our newspaper, has decided to put about half of their COVID-19 coverage back behind a paywall. But yeah, the there are now cases in every county. Yeah. So, good news though is that it seems to be sort of contained now. Once, you know, Governor Kemp finally put in that shelter in place order, we already started seeing effects. A lot of people, most people go out wearing cloth masks now, at least where I live. Or like, you know, one of those like allergy masks or, you know, a scarf or something. Like I said, the thing about here was that most of the places down here kind of took the initiative before the governor did. So most of us have been sort of already sheltering in place already.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Jones County, we now have a combined total of 9 confirmed cases of COVID-19. However, nobody has died. I don't know what the case is like in Atlanta. Apparently, the numbers have sort of slowed. But the death toll in Daugherty County is still climbing. And I already explained last week why that happened. It's because it was a couple of funeral services that happened within a general area of each other. And what usually gathers most of in a funeral service, a lot of old people.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of the religious institutions and churches and stuff have been obeying the quarantine orders. They are not trying to guilt trip people into going into services so that the preacher can get their money, like some other assholes we can mention. Mostly here in Georgia, it's just kind of degenerated to monotony, and it's probably going to be like this at least until the end of May. I do not know if the shelter in place order is going to be extended or not because it ends on Monday. But
ooh.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. So yeah, that's about the story here. All right, so now that we got all that out of the way, let's go ahead and talk about all the other shit we've been doing. So, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
I'm still going through the Wheel of Time. I'm in about halfway through the seventh book. Still enjoying that one quite a bit. And I'm kind of, like, really astonished at the amount of reverse misogyny in this series.
What do you mean by reverse misogyny?
You know how like men can be really sexist and talk about women being weaker and all that kind of bullshit?
Yeah.
Yeah, well that happens in reverse in this series.
Oh, so you mean misandry?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
A whole lot.
And if I remember correctly, that's partly due to the sisterhood or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the Aes Sedai mostly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just strikes me as kind of weird and odd, and I suspect, completely intentional, obviously, because Robert Jordan has a wife who thinks completely like that. But yeah, it's fun. it doesn't really detract from it, and it gives you some very interesting perspectives. I like it. So worth reading. Apart from that, what else have I been doing? I've been watching some movies here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Ford versus Ferrari, which was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I should recommend seeing that if you want to see Matt Damon try to do a British accent and mostly succeeding. So that's interesting. It's no worse than his Boston accent, so keep mm-hmm. that in mind. Also watched True Grit, the remake, from 2010. Yeah, people talk really, really weird in that time period.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
Yeah, it kind of was a little bit jarring for me because you know, I haven't seen a whole lot in that vein before. But you know, a friend of mine said, "Yeah, it's a good movie. You should probably watch it." So I did and mm-hmm. enjoyed it. Despite the fact I wasn't sure whether I should like Maddie or just be completely and utterly annoyed by her.
Well, that's kind of from the book, too. Just you're not really sure if she's – you're just not really sure about her in general.
You're really not. And that like continues throughout the entire movie, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a – it was good, and Jeff Bridges was had a pretty good role in that movie. So yeah,
mm-hmm.
worth checking out. I also watched The Illusionist, which I had never seen before, and yeah, that was a very interesting movie.
Hmm.
Anybody seen that one? No.
Sounds familiar.
It's set in Vienna,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically about a illusionist who his thing is basically bringing back the spirits of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's his shtick. But what it ends up turning out to be is probably one of the most elaborate con jobs ever. And yeah, mm-hmm. It was a very, very satisfying movie to watch. Very nice soundtrack by Philip Glass. Good acting. Very nice sets. Hadn't heard of that one until recently, and very, very pleased that I got to watch it. Very, very fun one. If you like those period type movies, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's kind of more or less it. I've been doing a couple of gaming here and there, but I'll talk about that on Sunday. So that's pretty. All much right. It.
All right, Patrick. What about you?
Well, I wanted to talk about this last week, but I completely spaced it. The second wave of Dawn of X books are coming out, and Hellions number one is really interesting. It might be one of the standout books of the entire line. It's easy to dismiss it as a Suicide Squad knockoff, but when you consider that this is an X-Men version of Suicide Squad with Mr. Sinister at the helm, you start to realize what kind of potential it has. And the whole thing opens up with a quote from Nightcrawler saying, basically, don't make Eden if you have no use for snakes. And so what happens is you have a bunch of mutants who have been causing various kinds of trouble for Krakoa, just in isolated, separate incidents. And they're all gathered up to meet with the Quiet Council. And they don't want to implement human punishments like incarceration or things of that nature. So Mr. Sinister has this idea of, well, let's put their insanity to use. And so one thing sort of leads to another, and you get this, and it's one of the greatest Sinister monologues ever in an X-Men book, and that's saying something. But once the whole project gets the go-ahead, there are three conditions that are placed upon the entire idea. One of it was, well, it says, I do see the faintest shimmers of wisdom in giving Mr. Sinister a team of troubled mutants. Could it hurt them to have a mentor who understands what it's like to be unwell? God knows they've received enough finger wagging and sideways glances to cure them 1,000 times over if that was going to do the trick. I sniffed around and heard rumblings that you'd like to see them in the field as soon as next month. After much thought, I can throw my weight behind you as long as any missions follow these criteria. 1. Chance of human casualties is nil. Placing these mutants in situations where their intrinsic overenthusiasm may lead to dead humans and therefore banishment to the pit of exile is unacceptable. I will not stand by while our most at-risk mutants are re-traumatized by that barbaric punishment. 2. Violent overreaction is the ideal. These are bulls and the world is a china shop. We don't let them out of their pen unless the goal is lots of broken china. 3. There is therapeutic value in the carnage. The missions should allow these problem mutants to express themselves in ways frowned upon by polite society. In this freedom, perhaps they will find healing. If you can promise me these considerations, we're in business. And yeah, that's how it gets started. And we don't even have any idea who it is that wrote that. But this is gonna be a hell of a book. The team that was assembled for it is, one moment, Havoc, Orphan Maker and Nanny, Wild Child, Empath, Scalp Hunter, and their handler, Psylocke, which is Quanon, not Betsy Braddock, since this book is a direct follow-up to Fallen Angels. So, yeah, this is going to be a good one. The first issue, if you haven't checked it out yet, I highly recommend. They're onto something with this. So that's been my week. I just wanted to touch on that because I forgot to last weekend. So there you have it.
All right, Teresa, what about you?
A lot and nothing, you know. I don't know. Feels like a weird week. Been playing a lot of Animal Crossing, of course. Accidentally bricked my Alienware this week. Yeah, I was just trying to do some regular driver updates because Lego Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker, some shit like that, was running a little bit jaggy for my kid. And I'm like, what's with the frame rates here? What's going on? And so, you know, I did Dell's usual bullshit tool to look for different drivers. And if I have thought for about a couple of hours and remembered from way back when, I should have never touched that BIOS one.
Eh.
So, poof. But I got the new BIOS chips today, Phil, and I'll see if there's any hope there. I got to wait for that CMOS battery, though.
Well, at least Lego Star Wars isn't running like crap now.
No, nothing's running like crap anymore. I super miss my Plex server. You know, all the shit that I want to watch, I have to find it everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Or dig out the DVDs or something. I don't really want to do that. Yeah, right. So we've been watching Star Trek Discovery and Dragon Ball. We're in season 2 now. And they have it on Hulu, so we've been watching it on Hulu. And honestly, it's really... I can't see that it's censored at all. So I think it's because we went back and watched the episode where Lunch was introduced just to see if we could notice any differences. No, we didn't notice anything. So, and of course, we're watching it subbed because that's just how it's going to work. We've been watching weird stuff, too, like the Oblongs, other Adult Swim things. I don't think my kid is very impressed with the Oblongs, although I thought it was hysterical as crap back in the day. And yeah,
it was very early. It was a very early, like, predecessor what adult comics or adult cartoons are like today.
Yeah. Yeah. It was ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
I
just remember that episode where Milo just can't sleep because his parents are having sex too loud.
Yeah.
Or no, they stopped having sex.
Yeah, that was what it was.
He's used to that. He's used to the noises.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. But other than that, I've been spending an inordinate amount of time outside with a balaclava on because it got really cold, looking for owls on the ground. So one of our owls got blown out of the tree in some windy storm that we had this past week. And I saw him last night, and I can't find him today. He was on the ground for a couple or 3 days. And then the other one is just, poof, gone. He was in the tree, went to bed, apparently had a storm, and now there's, like, no sign of him. So, I don't know. I keep, like, I've got my window open now because I want to listen to see if I hear the mom come by and do her territorial hoots. But so far, nothing. It's like the whole building is fucking bummed because we really got invested in those owls. Sounds crazy to do with a wild animal, you know, but it's part of one of the things that keeps people going, you know, when we've been stuck inside for 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Is getting up and looking out the window and seeing if we could see the owl.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's really about it. I honestly don't think I'm going to have any good reports next week about the owls.
All right.
Nature's hard.
Mm-hmm. All right. Chris, what about you?
So this week has just been crazy for weather. It was very nice early in the week, warm in the 60s, and today and yesterday it snowed. Today especially was just a lot of wind and snow. Nothing really sticking, just seeing flakes coming down and every so often. Especially a few times when it was just sunny out. Mm-hmm. It's real weird. But yeah, Wednesday nights we had a tornado warning. Mm. Middle of the night too, like 11:45, the phone just starts going nuts. Luckily, nothing really came out of it, just some light hail. But everything else was just fine. And man, just been a busy week. So I haven't really done too much. I watched Parasite on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
That is really good.
Mm-hmm. Better be. It won all those damn Oscars.
Yeah, and it almost gets a little heavy-handed on the class warfare stuff towards the end. But definitely makes a solid point for what it's going for. And, yeah, just a lot of fun. I wasn't quite sure what to expect out of it. But, yeah, it does what it does really well. And I believe all of that director's other movies are also on Hulu, so I have to check that stuff out. I think the only one I've seen out of his work is the one that's about the monster. Mm. I forget what it's called. Also watching Futurama, since I'm done with King of the Hill. I'm just going to watch through Futurama. I'm in season 2 right now, in the middle of it.
Mm.
I think I'm in the episode where Zoidberg is full of his male jelly, needs to pass it on, the one that turns into a Star Trek episode.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
With the fight later on. Which I just love the part where he just cuts Fry's arm off. Where I was like, I'll kill you! Just goes nuts on him. Just beating the shit out of him with his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. It's just some of the great stuff from the series. The Nixon episode is also great. Has my favorite line in the entire series where he goes, oh, expletive deleted.
Mm-hmm.
Just self-censoring it. Since, like, that's just hilarious. Especially when Nixon's going on a rant about selling babies and all this.
Selling orphans for meat and then sneak up into people's houses and wreck up the place during the night. Yeah.
Yeah. Just how he's gone crazy since he was last around.
Mm-hmm.
And just wins the election with his new robot body and then just proceeds to just storm onto the White House and destroy it. As he's howling like a madman.
Well, anytime Nixon shows up, you know you're getting a good episode.
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
And the Xmas episode was also pretty good. Oh, with John Goodman as Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Which just has some great stuff there, especially as Fry is learning like what's different about Christmas. especially like the pine trees going away, so they just have a... crap, I forget what they're called. But just having
Vikings. Always...
No, it was palm trees.
Ah.
Which is pretty crazy. And yeah, a lot of fun stuff there. Yeah, it's some of the best stuff that the Simpsons writers have ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to get to past like the original 4 seasons and see like what that other stuff is. I've seen little bits here and there. Some of it's good, some of it seems a little bit like eh, but I'll see what it is. And as for games, I got Final Fantasy VII Remake. I pre-ordered that and played exactly 11 minutes of it yesterday before I had to get to bed and get to work in the morning. So I've basically gotten to the point where the first point where Jesse is start thirsting for Cloud.
Mm.
Which is a major part of that early stuff.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. That's the only difference between that and the demos, there's a like an extra intro scene before it gets to the train.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been it for that. I'm gonna stream that tomorrow night. So I definitely want to get a save basically right at the end of where the demo ends. So I can just kind of pick up from there and show people like what happens immediately after that. Been playing more Animal Crossing, trying to figure out what else I have to do to get the whatever remaining recipes I have left, because it just seems to never end.
Mm. Oh, God.
I've gotten about, I'm at like 38 already. I'm like, how the fuck are the 38 recipes tied to this? So that's that not being the end of it.
No, dude. It's there's yeah.
Especially yeah. Like, it's a lot of It's a lot of just stupid shit. Especially stuff that I had to get out of the balloons, where it's like, conceivably, I could just miss all of this just by not paying attention to the balloons.
Yeah.
It's all ridiculous. I think they've toned down the egg stuff a little bit, but
yeah. Well, also keeping track of, like, who all is in there, what villagers are in their house, and are they working on their workshop? And if they are, you know, can you get a DIY recipe off of them?
Yeah, this game throws a ton of stuff at you for this stuff, and it works out mostly okay. You can ignore anything you don't really care about, though I have some duplicates, and I can't do anything with them, so I just have them sitting in a field.
Mm-hmm.
I just drop them because I can't put them away easily, or just, I guess I can sell them, but I don't really want to sell them. It's like, send it to a friend. It's like, I don't know how to do that yet. I haven't bothered with it, but maybe I should just put them in my inventory, go to an island, just leave them there.
Yeah.
They just disappear forever. I did go to another island, and I think I got bamboo shoots cool. in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got that. And like one fossil.
Okay.
For some reason. There was a bunch of stuff to dig up, but it was all eggs, except for the one fossil. I was like, really?
Well, once the bamboo gets larger that you brought home, be sure to bang on it with your stone axe every day, because spring is the only time that you could get, like, I think it's called fresh young spring bamboo or some shit like that.
Okay.
And you'll need that for crafting.
All right. Yeah, what else? So I have one extra room right now, which I've essentially turned into like a tool room. I just happen to have a bunch of items that were like a tool shed kind of stuff. There's like a key hooks. I have a bucket in a corner that I'm just suggesting is a pee bucket. Cause it's just a bucket with some liquid in it. And I'm like, this is a weird thing to have. So I just put it in the corner. Cause my toilet collection is it's stuff I can't actually use. So apparently you can poop in this game, if you do not know. So if you have fruit, if you've eaten fruit and you don't want to use them, you can go sit on the toilet and they poop in it. And you get rid of all your extra power.
That must be why I have that bidet.
Even flushes, I guess.
Wow. Okay.
So I've been pretty straightforward from the beginning about the fact that I've never really gotten Animal Crossing. But what?
Yeah, I have a squatty toilet and I have a urinal. I think I had both of them fall out of the sky out of balloons.
Luxurious.
Well, come over to my town and you can catalog the bidet, and I think I have a wall mount towel holder.
I got this bucket. Like, that's all the toilets I need.
Got this bucket. God.
That's where I'm
God
at.
Damn.
On the level of sophistication my house has, is I got a bucket and two toilets I can't use.
So have you guys seen anything. Magic Wand?
I think I have enough star stuff for it. I just haven't made it yet.
No, not that Magic Wand.
Oh. there's something
like
else.
They have like the Hitachi Magic Wand, and they have it in pink.
Okay. Oh my God.
Yep. And then somebody did like a
good
custom.
Night, kids.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll just stop right there. But
so, like, again, I've been open about the fact that I've never gotten Animal Crossing. I've never understood it, and now I'm almost scared to ask. What is it that you do in this?
Yeah, game? Same thing you do with the game, like Stardew Valley.
I've never played that.
Or
it's. I mean, it is
Harvest
literally...
Moon. Did you ever play Harvest Moon?
No.
Oh man! Oh my God! It's literally a life simulator.
Yeah.
So
it's a collectathon.
It can be.
It's basically like a Banjo-Kazooie, but thousands of items instead of, you know, hundreds. A lot of people just want to get everything, one of everything. Especially, well, now that there's recipes, nobody knows where the end of that is.
Mm.
That's the scary part for some people.
Oh God, there's going to be at least 500 of them by the time we get all of our seasonal festivals and everything.
And oh my God, there's so many updates they need to do. Like, don't have me fucking craft the flimsy tool.
Oh my God.
Do the second update for the regular one. Just add the stuff I need to make the flimsy one to the bigger one.
You realize I go through like fucking 5 or 6 fishing rods a day.
Mm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Is it tomorrow that the fishing tournament is? Was that Sunday?
It might be. Is KK in your town today?
I don't have his.
You don't have him yet? Okay.
I'm a little bit behind. I got the opportunity to build an incline. I was like, fuck my mortgage. I'm building this incline.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I used my stock market proceeds from.
Yeah,
I went like, ooh, this is perfect. So I don't have to sit there and climb up a wall anymore for the first one.
Right. No more ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I catch too big.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so that's been Animal Crossing is just slowly congealing into an actual plan of design for my stuff. So I'm just leaving it all over the place. And then I streamed yesterday Convoy, which is out on consoles this week. It is basically, if you know FTL, it's FTL meets Mad Max, essentially. So you're, instead of running a spaceship, you are running a convoy of vehicles. You have your main convoy, which you have to keep safe, not getting destroyed, or else your run ends. But you start off with 2 extra vehicles that do your attacking, and you can get up to 4, I think. And the run ahead on the stream was pretty great, because when you start, you have to... So essentially, it is sci-fi, in that you were in a spaceship that has issues and crash lands onto this planet. They send you out to get 4 parts, and it randomizes each time with 4 parts. And it picks a lot of stuff that is referential. So like one of them I had literally was a flux capacitor or a sonic screw. You're kind of, I think you want to do those 4 quests and then move. And that should be the end of it, but who knows? Because I got to the final quest, which was basically you have to defeat waves of enemies to get this item. And I got to the final boss, and his extra vehicles just fucking wiped me out. I should have just been grinding up, and because you can upgrade your vehicles and all that, but I died there, which was a shame. But I did this whole weird quest where I found a dude that's like, oh, I'm going on this quest to take out a dragon. You're like, this dude's fucking crazy, but I'll help you out. And we actually took out a fucking, it was a dragon vehicle, but still a dragon. And once we did that, I lost a vehicle in the process because I wasn't paying attention. But he built his own vehicle out of that dragon parts. So I had this awesome dragon that could just fucking wreck people. We were just destroying everybody. It's like, oh yeah, sure, let's go on this last quest. This will be easy. And we get fucking wrecked at the end. So that's a pretty cool game. And I'll be streaming FF7 Remake tomorrow. And Sunday will be Below, since it's on consoles now, or PS4. And they had that big exploration update, so I'm going to check that out. That'll be it for this weekend. How about you, Brandon?
All right, yeah. So first and foremost, I unfortunately do not have Final Fantasy VII Remake. I waited too late to pre-order it, and when I went to my local GameStop to pick up a copy, they were sold out.
Yeah, I accidentally realized I had the physical version pre-ordered at Amazon, and I went and looked. I was like, I don't think I have that still. I checked, and I'm like, yep, they're supposedly getting somewhat close to shipping, but said it wouldn't arrive until the 16th or 17th. I was like, ooh, I got time to cancel this. And they were nice enough to cancel it, so.
Yeah, lucky you.
I just pre-ordered digitally.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, don't rely on this fucking retail shit.
Yeah.
Because they're all shut down.
Yep. But anyway. So, in lieu of that, I have been playing both XCOM 2 and the Valkyria Chronicles remaster. XCOM 2 is bullshit. I just want to say that out loud. so that everybody in the back of the room can hear me. XCOM 2 is a bunch of bullshit. It's a lot of fun, but it's bullshit. Just wanted everybody to know that.
For all the typical XCOM reasons?
Why is it that one of my individual units can, you know, go through a window or over a counter or, you know, climb up a roof, and, you know, they only have to go, like, maybe a few feet ahead of them to get to it? But for some reason, when on just these mild occasions, I end up having to use both of my action points in order to go to a place a few feet ahead, because for some reason, the game's UI decided that this character couldn't just go over the counter or go through the door to get to the other side of the building. No, they have to jump through the damn window, then jump through another window, then climb up the fucking, you know, storm drain, then go down a fucking ladder just to get to a spot that was a few feet ahead of them. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's bullshit for all the usual XCOM reasons. And that it makes no goddamn sense. So yeah, there have been a I've had to rage quit once or twice with that game. Keep in mind, I'm playing on the rookie setting, and it's still punishingly hard. But it's still XCOM, and the thing about XCOM is that no matter how punishingly bullshit it is, it's still a lot of fun. And I've also been, like I said, the Valkyria Chronicles remaster, the first one. About as good as I remember it being. It's good stuff. What else? Books, as usual. Nothing to really talk about there. Oh, and Netflix. I actually started watching Tiger King.
I'm sorry.
So have you made it past episode 3? Because that seems to be where everyone I know keeps dropping off.
Yeah, I made it to episode 3. I'm not sure if I'm going to watch episode 4.
That's exactly
what, because at this point, I want all of these people to die. Like, it is just the gathering of just the worst fucking people on the planet. And they just all happen to trade in big cats.
Yeah.
And people think Joe Exotic is like the whole show. He's just the fucking tip of the iceberg, man. Because Joe Exotic is the lure that gets you in, because he's fucking, you know, flamboyant and narcissistic and just, you know, just a grandiose, larger-than-life individual. And then all these other fuckers come in and you're like, yeah, this guy's just the tip of the goddamn iceberg. There is a bunch of just awful human beings involved here.
I've seen people talking about that show. Basically, like, it's the only show on the internet where nobody wants to take anybody's sides.
I'm afraid I have come across people who are on at least somebody's side. But they are in the minority. Most people are like, I just hate everyone here. The only people in that goddamn show who have any kind of, like, sense in their heads are usually either the former employees, or it's that one dude who was like a cocaine kingpin who ended up going to prison for several years for capital murder. He ends up being the one guy with a fucking level head. What the fuck? And then there's goddamn Carol Baskin. I can't fucking make heads or tails of this woman. Because the show really puts a lot of implications in there in that she killed her husband and possibly fed his corpse to one of her tigers. Because what happens is they end up interviewing, like, the dude's family, his attorney, his former business partners, and she was acting just really fucking shady, like, the whole time. She actually, like, technically breaks into this place that she technically owned, but it's there's like all this thing where she ends up like, you know, like behind the back, slowly moving all of this guy's like power of attorney and like his will all towards her behind the rest of the family's back. So when he does get declared dead, basically she ends up getting about 90% of his estate. I just mentioned this dude that died, his name was Don Lewis. He was actually a multimillionaire. That's the reason she's able to keep up that whole big cat rescue thing. But I hate all of these people, and I just want one of those fucking tigers to kill them. All of them. Leave no survivors. Other than that, still watching Beastars. That's also still a really good show. And I also started watching some more of that anime noir that I talked about previously. Still a great show, incredibly well written, very tightly plotted. I think that's about it. Anybody got anything else they want to bring up or talk about before we move on?
Well, if you like to watch shows about horrible people, you might want to watch Succession.
Oh.
Yeah. It's kind of like a fictionalized account of, it's this really like wealthy family that's modeled after the Murdochs. Let's just be honest. They're not called them, but you can kind of tell it. No, nobody in that show is likable, and yet the show itself is amazing. So, yeah, check that out. It's HBO, so you have to figure out your own methods of getting that.
Mm-hmm.
Like HBO Go or Now or whatever.
All right then. Well, then, it is now time to move on to everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And tonight I wanted to sort of very quickly go over a little thing that happened a little over 100 years ago. About 102 years ago now. And is weirdly prescient to everything that's going on right now. If you're listening to this and you just heard everything I just said, you're immediately thinking, I know what he's fixing to talk about. And you're right. I want to talk very briefly about the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918.
Yeah, you should talk about it.
Because for some reason, all of the goddamn mistakes that people made in the Spanish flu epidemic, a lot of those same mistakes are happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, first thing you need to know about the Spanish flu, more than likely it did not come from Spain.
No.
The reason it's called the Spanish flu is because, you know, this was all happening during World War I, the tail end of it anyway. And pretty much every country that was involved in that war had sort of mobilized their media in such a way that they basically just became mouthpieces of the state. Unlike today, where they are only somewhat mouthpieces of the state, but have just enough plausible deniability to say otherwise. The reason it's called the Spanish flu is because Spain, which was actually a neutral country during the Great War, was the only one whose media was openly talking about it. Whereas everywhere else, the United States, Germany, Great Britain, both the Central and Allied powers, all of them and their allies, were basically just saying, nope, we're going to keep a tight lid on this shit. Why? Because they didn't want to cause any panic. Now, like I said, Spain, for its part, was actually allowed to do it, to talk about it because they were neutral. That didn't really do much to help when it came to keeping the fucking thing from spreading. Even when fucking King Alfonso the 13th ended up getting sick from it, so much so that he almost died. No, in fact, the local Catholic authorities were actively trying to get people to come into mass to like defy quarantine orders and shit.
Oh, God.
Calling whenever there were like masses held with like large groups of people, they were, and I quote, a great victory for Catholicism.
And the what did church. They get?
Sick! That's what they fucking got. Now, where exactly the fucking flu actually started, there's at least three or four different theories of where it started. The first is that it may have started in the UK during a hospital camp. It's believed that it may have actually started in the United States, specifically in Kansas. It's also been theorized that it may have started in China somewhere. And the reason that one would check out is because China during the First World War was in a very, very bad shape. Remember, this was like during the waning days of the empire itself and the last dynasty. There was, fucking revolution and shit going on. But there's also like a bunch of other people's have suggested it might actually have started in Spain, but that's a very small minority view. Exactly how it spread, though, we do know how. It was literally spread the same way that the fucking COVID-19 is spread. Sneezing or coughing nearby somewhere. And the fact that this was World War I and a bunch of soldiers and shit were like packed in together in like fucking trenches and stuff, that just made it easier to spread. It also let it mutate very quickly as well. Plus, a lot of people's immunity back then really wasn't that good. I don't know if you've ever looked at like what the kind of rations that soldiers had to deal with back then during that day, but wasn't terribly nutritious, and poor nutrition usually means a weaker immune system. Also, the fact that this was sort of like the first age of when the world had sort of truly become global instead of just a bunch of sort of mildly connected regions. So, people were going around the world on ships and carriages and, airplanes were now a thing. It just spread real quick. It also killed a buttload of people. The estimates of the death toll have been everywhere from 50 million to as high as 100 million, which literally makes it probably the second deadliest pandemic in recorded human history. The only one behind it being, the only one greater than it being the Black Death. By the time it finally made its way to the United States, just like today, nobody fucking took it seriously. President Woodrow Wilson, for his part, actively refused to do anything to try and, thwart the spread of the disease. He basically refused to institute any kind of national quarantine or, maybe a slow sort of withdrawal of troops from the front lines. Because, well, if you know anything about Woodrow Wilson, he was an asshole. So, really that fucking simple. And of course, just like today, there was a bunch of fucking religious assholes who were like, this shit isn't going to hurt us. God will protect us. The famous evangelist Billy Sunday claimed that the pandemic was God's punishment for a sinful nation, and he held like mass prayer rallies, and there are reports of basically as these rallies are going on, just dozens of people just collapsing to death as they were going on. and like crowds having to like part ways as people like carried people out on stretchers. There was a little rhyme that would go around that kids started singing about. It was basically a little, it was like a little rhyme, and it went, I had a little bird and her name was Enza. I opened up the window and in flew Enza, you know, that type of shit. Eventually, of course, the pandemic more or less tapered off. It's actually one of the first, pandemic that was actually caused by the H1N1 influenza virus. The only other one that happened later was the swine flu in 2009. Eventually what happened was, and this is according to Wikipedia, after the lethal second wave struck in 1918, new cases dropped abruptly, almost to nothing after the peak in the second wave. In Philadelphia, for example, 4,597 people died in the week ending 16th of October. But by the 11th of November, influenza had almost completely disappeared from the city. One explanation for the rapid decline in the lethality of disease is that doctors became more effective in prevention and treatment of the pneumonia that developed after the victims had contracted the virus. However, John Barry stated in his 2004 book, The Great Influenza, that researchers have found no evidence to support this petition. Some fatal cases did continue into March 1919, killing one player in the 1919 Stanley Cup Finals. Another theory holds that the 1918 virus mutated extremely rapidly to a less lethal strain. This is a common occurrence with influenza viruses. There is a tendency for pathogenic viruses to become less lethal with time, as the hosts of more dangerous strains tend to die out. So yeah, it's almost a fucking carbon copy of the shit we're going through today. a bunch of really stupid fucking people getting everybody else sick, and the one thing standing between us and complete extinction is just some common knowledge from the medical community.
Yep. There are still models based on St. Louis and how they sheltered at home back then that people are applying now to determine the rate of infection going forward.
So that gives us both good news and bad news. The bad news is that this pandemic more or less lasted about a year and a half, which means that we're probably going to be still dealing with bits of this shit this time next year. But the good news is, as it should, the really deadly ones tend to burn out really fast because the deadlier they are, the quicker it burns out. So, yeah, that was the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918, the second deadliest pandemic in recorded human history. Wasn't really that long ago, either. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. All right, so moving on from there. We have, as always, the show proper, and as always, we have the Asshole of the Week. And our assholes of this week are the Supreme Court of the United States, who ruled that Wisconsin could not delay their election, forcing people to vote in person. Yep. So, yeah, we had an election in Wisconsin this week.
Yeah, and the whole issue was kind of over mail-in ballots that people wanted to do, but the obvious issue of the pandemic causing issues with delivery from the post office meant people would get them late and not be able to get them back in time for the whole thing. And so, yeah, he wanted the Democratic governor wanted to delay it so that they could get this all situated. The Republican legislature basically vetoed him. This led to like a federal court going over it, denying this, you know, backing them up, the Republicans, up on this, and it went to the Supreme Court, which gave it a 5-4 ruling along the partisan lines. And basically,
because they knew who would end up benefiting if this election had to happen.
Yeah, yeah, it's It's unfortunate you probably saw lots of pictures of people waiting in very long lines because everybody was staying about 6 feet apart.
Yeah, and yeah. A lot of the normal polling places were shut down.
Yeah, I think there were five or six in all of fucking Milwaukee, which is criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so forcing poll workers to work in all this. I did see some local pizza places delivered. Mm-hmm. Brought pizza to the lines in individual boxes so they could hand them out to people so they could at least survive sitting in line for hours at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And the result of that is that they're not revealing the results until this upcoming week.
Yep.
So nobody knows what happened, because the big prize of this whole election is not the primary or any of that. It was the state Supreme Court. There was a spot open. So that's why the Republicans are going through all this shit here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I kind of wish I had the bit that Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote about this, because she fucking tore him a new one.
She's good at that.
Yeah. Those aren't the sole assholes of the week. We've got another court, a federal court, that decided to allow Texas to keep blocking abortions.
Yep. Yeah, it was a federal court that I believe is very much Republican judges on there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they just voted they can keep doing it.
Yep.
Because some of the bullshit notion that the abortion clinics would take resources away from the ones fighting COVID-19, it's they're not sharing much of anything.
No, they know, it's a very cynical, very obvious move. We know what they're doing here.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a political play, and they don't give a shit.
There's a whole lot of political plays going around with this.
Mm-hmm.
Including loosening up many, 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 many federal guidelines in meat processing plants.
And pollution. Air pollution, especially. Yeah. Because these fuckers just don't care. They don't care. They got theirs. You can rot.
Yep. They don't.
They do not care. They do not care about you at all. Just that simple. But fortunately, we did have some real genuine heroes. There was a hospital in Memphis, Tennessee that had a bunch of, they had started having a shortage of masks that was needed. So a bunch of volunteers came together and they managed to fix up about 20,000 masks for the hospital in a single weekend.
Yeah, the problem with the mask was the straps. The elastic straps had dry rotted, needed to be replaced. So they came by, got the mask, and just pulled out their sewing machines, just got to work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how many people it was. But, yeah, they managed to get about 20,000 of the 27,000 that the hospital had done. Yeah, they originally agreed to fix about 6,000 of them, started running up volunteers that gave them much more people to work with. They recruited about 15 or 20 team leaders who invited friends, church members, and others to help, and they ended up with about 410 volunteers. Some didn't know how to sew, so they had online training lessons on Zoom. They posted YouTube tutorials on how to replace the straps with the sewing machine or by hand. And yeah, the hospital delivered about 140 cases of N95s to them. And the hospital got about 16,000 yards of replacement elastic for this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just kind of worked their way through it. Got as much done.
All right. So there's at least that good news. Now for some more bad news, although we kind of all saw it coming. Anyway, Bernie Sanders officially suspended his presidential campaign this week.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, we all saw it coming.
Yeah, but man, what a shitty fucking week.
Yeah.
Kind of ending it through the most bizarre circumstances I assume we've ever had.
Yeah. I'm sure if we didn't have this pandemic, it would still be going. I'm absolutely certain. And for the record, This doesn't mean you still won't be able to vote for him in the upcoming primaries, so he's still on the ballot. It's just that he's not actively campaigning anymore.
Right. Yeah. And for people who haven't voted, you should, because the amount of delegates that he gets gives him more influence in the DNC.
Yep. And it apparently him and Joe Biden have been talking back and forth a lot. Yeah. So, you know, it's maybe something good will come from that.
But yeah. Yeah. I mean, we could only hope. Bernie has a lot more work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As long as he's willing to keep trying to champion for the working class of America.
Yeah.
He'll probably do it until his dying breath.
But understand, he's just one person.
He is.
Yeah. If you want to have that change happen, you got to go out and make it.
Uh-huh.
I mean that in every which way possible.
And definitely be good for Biden to be listening to him.
Yeah.
For policy changes. People shouldn't be giving shit for changing anything. Like, the whole point is that, you know, he's got more people to work with, more.
Yeah.
More resources.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Bernie Sanders is going to be like a VP made for him, it's still a good way to get ideas. Because, you know, if you ask me like what Biden's policies are right now, it's like I have no clue. Other than he's not really a fan
basically of everything that Barack Obama did.
Yeah,
that's basically the whole thing he's going. He's like, I'm going to continue the work that Barack Obama did.
Yeah.
Which means, you know, expanding the Affordable Care Act, which just ain't fucking gonna do it anymore, but
it's better than what Trump has in mind.
Yeah. I will say this. There are two sides to this going forward. Biden wins the presidency, and the good thing about that is that
no more Trump.
Yeah, no more Trump. He's gone.
He can't
fucking do it. And he won't be able to fucking do anything about it. He's gone. His whole administration will probably get purged with the utmost ruthlessness.
Yeah, definitely talk about how you want to have these people investigated.
Yeah.
For what criminal acts they've probably done.
Yeah. So, you know, Trump's gone. Stephen Miller's out on his ass. William Barr's going to go fuck out somewhere else.
Jared Kushner can go back to being a shitty landlord.
Yeah. And the entire fucking Trump brood will probably face federal charges and state charges.
I certainly hope so.
Oh, they will. The attorney general, the attorneys general in New York is just waiting to fucking to flip the fucking switch as soon as he's gone. The bad news to that, though, is that it means we're now back to business as usual. Which is preferable to what we're dealing with now, but unfortunately a lot of people will figure out pretty quickly that business as usual wasn't necessarily a cakewalk either. It's just that we've had to deal with this Trump shit for so long, for so often, that
we kind of grew what it was like before.
At least we can still operate in it.
Yeah. But then there's the other possibility, which is that he ends up losing and Trump gets another 4 years.
And then there's no tomorrow.
Yeah. Basically, what that means is that we and all the fucking Bernie supporters who, I don't know about everyone else, but I'm still actively going to be going out and voting for Joe Biden.
Yeah,
but
that's if, do we have, really.
Yeah. But if Biden ends up loses, is, you know, basically we on the left wing of the Democratic Party will basically say, tried to fucking warn you. I mean, we fucking told you this would happen.
Yeah.
You went through the same shit with Hillary in 2016, and now you fucking did it again. Almost to the goddamn letter.
Mm-hmm.
Did we ever tell you what the definition of insanity was?
Yeah.
Trying to do the same thing over and over again and try and expecting a different fucking result.
Yeah. Just ask Voss, he'll tell you.
Yeah.
I mean the Trump approach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen Jill Stein's been poking her head back into the public discourse.
Yeah.
As of Bernie Sanders, like trying to court Sanders
people. Oh, hell no.
Yeah, the Green Party's trying to get it so that he'll maybe run on the Green Party ticket.
Or
but Bernie's not going to do that.
their side is like if they don't like the Dems, which it's like, people, don't you remember what happened 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jill Stein is not the person you need.
Yeah.
In the Green Party right now.
For the fucking record, I'm already not with the Democrats, but much like Bernie, I have to work with them because of the way the fucking two-party system is in this country. You know, if it was that so that we could have more than one major, more than just two major fucking parties, maybe this wouldn't be such a big fucking problem. But no. So you end up making the same goddamn mistake again, and you're not going to have anybody else to blame but yourselves this time.
At least the nice thing is the longer this COVID-19 stuff goes on, the worse it's going to be for Trump. Because he is not handling it well. Mm. I guess in his presser thing today, he was complaining how antibiotics don't work as well anymore. Just like, those aren't for virals. Outbreaks.
Those are for bacterial infections, you fucking moron.
So this wouldn't happen if you listened to the experts you had at your disposal.
Anyway, speaking of which, it's now time to go to the COVID-19 dump truck. So, first things first. The worldwide cases as of this week have now topped 1.6 million. And New York has more than any other place in the world. That includes other countries. Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. They are making mass graves in New York.
Yeah.
Because they don't have anywhere else to fucking put all the bodies. The morgues are slam full. I mean
they're talking about having to use the parks.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a morbid thing to think about.
Yeah. Boris Johnson, Prime Minister of the UK, looked like he was going to fucking die this week.
Yeah, right?
Holy shit. He had to go into ICU. He had to go on a fucking breathing machine.
Like, when they announced that shit, like, news breaking in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
No bueno.
But he's actually better now, even though he's still in hospital, so.
Yeah, he's walking, from what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
Which... that's got to be a good sign.
Yeah.
I mean, politically.
Remember, no, this guy, but... just for the record, this motherfucker basically shook hands with every goddamn person he could.
Yeah, he was could. Mocking the notion of social distancing.
And he actually got it and nearly died from it.
Stupid now, game, stupid prizes.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that Boris Johnson has just enough amount of self-knowledge that he's going to realize... okay, I might need to handle this a little better.
It's like, yeah. Maybe taking it a little bit more serious might be advisable order for him.
Mm-hmm. Next up, a tiger at the Bronx Zoo actually tested positive for the virus.
Yeah.
Apparently cats can get it.
I have several questions.
Oh, there's really no other way to put it. Somebody probably sneezed on it.
Yeah. No, it's probably exactly it. There have been many warnings to pet owners that cats are far more susceptible to catching it. It's a zoonotic virus. I don't know if I'm saying that word right, you guys. I've only seen it in print. but it does pass between species. As we know, I mean, it came from bats or pangolins or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, cats are apparently especially vulnerable.
Yep. Oh, by the way. Okay, so next up. You know how fucking the Trumps have been, how he's been going on and on about hydroxychloroquine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he stockpiled about 29 million pills of it for treatment.
Despite there being no real substantive studies suggesting it's a good treatment.
No. And if you try and guzzle the shit, it'll fucking kill you.
Yep. So but I don't take medical advice from a dude like Trump.
Yeah.
He's not a doctor. He's not even a smart person.
Yeah.
Not a reasonable person.
Speaking of people who aren't reasonable, there's still a bunch of you know, fucking awful goddamn hucksters and con artists out there that are selling folk fake cures and shit. And Alex Jones is one of them. So the FDA warned him yet again to stop pushing his false COVID-19 cures.
Yep.
For the record, he has said that selling these are a revolutionary act, and so he doesn't intend on doing shit.
Oh, enjoy the... I don't know what they would do to him.
He can get put away for a very long time for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it seems on InfoWars' store, they are selling like colloidal silver.
Mm-hmm. God. Which is the shit that turns you blue.
Yeah.
It fucking does. I've seen people in the crunchy communities here, and I'm like, you know what they're doing as soon as you see them. You know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess he also has wound gel and toothpaste, as he says, are, quote, on record taking out viruses and bacteria.
Oh, my God. We're all so done with this, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know? We are all so done with this woo bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, too, because just to go on a little tangent here, I'm going to play Lee tonight. There are some things that are truly fucking beneficial, but all this woo makes everybody, like, shy away from it. Like, you know, whenever I have a stomach ache and I eat candy ginger or peppermint tea, it's like I want to whisper that I do that because I'm afraid somebody's going to think that I'm some fucking lunatic who, if it got really bad, would of course take fucking Pepto-Bismol, you know? Yeah. I mean, which is another, I mean, it's based on bismuth. You know, it's another old remedy. But there's so much bullshit where people are trying to do, like, what is that fucking pulling that they do? Like oil pulling with their teeth? Or
the fuck?
Coconut oil pulling? Oh, jeez, just don't. Just don't. And then people brushing with fucking charcoal toothpaste.
Yeah.
It all reeks of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And suffering, by the way, because that shit's going to tear you up.
Yep.
So, yeah. I was very short Lee here.
God damn.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of bullshit, you remember recently Patrick told us all about how there was a bunch of the LDS missionaries coming back to the Salt Lake International Airport
all at once?
Remember.
And like one of them had some extra baggage.
Yep. Well, guess what fucking happened?
Exactly what you expect.
Yep. Patrick, take it away.
Yeah, the missionary came back and tested positive for COVID-19 and infected his family. Mm-hmm. And judging by the quantity of people that were there at the airport that night, I'm guessing he didn't just infect that his family.
Hmm. Yeah, probably quite a few more cases about to be showing up in Utah. Mm-hmm.
Which is what I had alluded to at the top of the show. So,
yeah. Yep. Oof. Yeah. All right, now for something that's really going to fucking bum you out. Do you remember last year there was that story of that grandma in Mesa, Arizona, who accidentally invited a random teenager over to her Thanksgiving celebration?
Continue to have him over year after year.
Well, her husband, Lonnie Dench, sadly passed away from COVID-19 this week because Arizona's response was so fucking poor.
I gotta tell you, of all the deaths so far, this one is the most poignant.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, he's just a normal guy who was married to a sweet woman who happened to become semi-famous for doing a sweet thing.
Yeah.
He is dead.
Yep.
Her life is turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And he, unfortunately, also had pneumonia at the same time.
Oh. Yeah.
Shit.
Because unfortunately, COVID-19 has a very bad habit of piggybacking on either pneumonia or regular influenza.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And yeah, the kid that they invite over for Thanksgiving every year was the one that kind of broke this news to people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, speaking of God damning us some more. Another 6.6 million people decided to file for unemployment last week.
Yeah.
Yes, that's almost 17 million in 3 weeks.
Yes, we are now close to about 10% unemployment now.
And that's just people who can file. Mm-hmm. I know people who are out of work who are unable to file because they haven't been working long enough, or maybe they're in a work-study program.
Or they don't make enough.
Yeah.
I've seen like some waitresses and such don't get the baseline that they need for a week to qualify. Seems like kind of the whole point of the stimulus stuff.
Yeah.
We should extend some of that so that the people that especially need the help can get it. But yeah, the California itself almost had 1 million people of that. That was 925,000 down from 1.06 last week, or the week before. Georgia, their totals nearly tripled the previous week, about 388,000. Mm. And Michigan was up to 384,000 this past week. Mm. So yeah, it's a shitload of people.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we end up with Snow Crash, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember playing Detroit Become Human, like laughing at the notion of 30% unemployment rates. It's like that.
It's like we could hit that would collapse. Now.
Society could collapse at 30%. How the hell are they like still dealing with all these fucking robots and shit?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, okay, we're in the ballpark there.
Yeah, we're getting there. So yeah, you either get the future from Snow Crash, the possible stuff from Detroit Become Human, or the fucking Bolshevik Revolution.
Yeah.
Or some combination therein.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you want to guess who the number two states in the country is in unemployment? California's number one.
Yeah.
What would you guess is number two? No.
Oh.
Is it West Virginia?
No, it's the only one that's over 1 million besides California.
Is it Texas?
Nope.
What is it?
Pennsylvania.
Really?
Wow. Okay, yeah, that one actually threw me for a loop.
Yeah, 377,000 the first week, 404, and then 283. Mm. So just for 1.07 million.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only other one besides
about
California.
It now, that actually makes sense. Because if you think about what most of Pennsylvania's jobs typically are. Yeah.
Coal.
Mm-hmm. Coal, and then you have some the manufacturing support that goes along with it, and yeah, you got a lot of stuff there that right now nobody can really do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's true. Mm. Let's see, what else? Because of all this, and because the unemployment systems for the various states is under such a strain, there's now a huge need for COBOL programmers.
Yes. We're talking about like a 45-year-old dead-ass language.
Mm-hmm. That's 60 years old at this point, wow. I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Which for people that don't know, COBOL is a programming language that was made essentially before computers were computers. There's those giant room-sized. I'm not sure what the origin of it is, but yeah, it's essentially came out of, it says a 40-year-old system comprised of a COBOL mainframe and four other separate systems for Connecticut's unemployment system. There's this 40 years old at this point. Essentially, it seemed like as soon as they could get computers to kind of help them out with unemployment, they jumped on it, which means these systems are fucking old as hell. And so it's not a language that's being really taught anymore, at least for a good time.
No.
Mm-hmm.
More recently, people have started to teach it. Okay, so COBOL stands for Common Business Oriented Language.
Mm-hmm.
Developed back in 1959. It's programming language that's used to create a very significant percentage of business systems over the period of the 60s, 70s, and even into the 80s. But over time, coders have moved away from it. And yeah, so like the general COBOL programmer population are very much like retired people.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were still teaching it when I was in high school, but it was only really taught as kind of a novelty.
Yeah.
It was just something that people took up for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
And it says many American universities have not taught COBOL in their computer science programs since the 80s. But despite that, 2017 report by Reuters is found that there are still 220 billion lines of COBOL in use today. 43% of banking systems are built on COBOL. 95% of ATM swipes rely on COBOL code. So that's a lot. Like, this is an issue that's...
there are so many problems with that.
Well, yeah, you would think so, but not so much.
First of all, nobody fucking knows it, so they can't hire new people.
No.
Apparently.
But because COBOL is a functional programming language and not like a high-level language like C or Python or whatever, COBOL code is usually pretty robust. It's typically not vulnerable to the same kind of crap that normal modern code would be. You have to do all of your memory management manually. So that stuff is typically nailed down. So it's, COBOL code, if it's done right, is typically pretty solid and just can run forever, which is kind of what's happening here.
Yeah, so there's one business that's booming for COBOL programmers.
It's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And
maybe don't rotate it out of education either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And last COVID story for the night. Jack Dorsey, owner of Twitter, is going to donate $1 billion to COVID-19 relief.
Now, those are numbers that can make a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took a while to find something good to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, he's not, I think I read that's like, 23 or 25% of his fortune he's just putting up for this.
Well, it's a hell of a rainy day fund, and it's a hell of a rainy day, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's also kind of hoping that he's not the only one that steps up and does something like this, because it's like, I also like that he's being very transparent about where this money is going, and there's a link there to a Google Doc that shows exactly where and how much is going where, and so, he's... He's doing his part, so I've got to give him that.
All right, that's it for the COVID-19 dump truck. Tune in next week. We'll probably have another load for you. Now we got to get on to the Trump dump. So first and foremost, Trump's announced that he's going to fire the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community in the next 30 days.
Now, why would you go and do that?
Because he's gotten away with his whole issue with Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
So he no longer wants the dude that's elevated the whistleblower complaint.
Mm-hmm. Furthermore from that, Trump has said that he is against mail-in voting because it's corrupt. But it's okay for him to use it.
Of course.
Also, he basically said that if mail-in vote happened nationwide, there would never be another Republican elected again.
No, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I'm not sure where the bad part of that is.
Yeah. He said the quiet part out loud, basically.
Yeah, Republicans have been talking about this all week.
Yeah.
Saying, like, that's bad for us.
Yeah.
But not quietly. So, yeah, he was, during one of his White House briefings, somebody asked, about the mail-in ballot stuff. And he talked about, mail ballots, they cheat. People cheat. Trump said, mail ballots are a very dangerous thing for this country because they're cheaters. They go and collect them. They're fraudulent in many cases. Next day, he tweeted that voting by mail doesn't work out well for Republicans. Urge Republicans to fight very hard against any efforts to expand statewide mail-in voting. He's previously taken advantage of absentee voting in his home state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say which party does it, but thousands of votes are gathered and they come in and they're dumped in a location. Then all of a sudden you lose elections that you think you're going to win.
Oh, you mean like the four bins that were not counted in Wisconsin this week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a lot of just convenient... things here of being okay when he does a thing. But not when other people do it because, I don't know, it's maybe generally kind of unsafe to go out for things like this.
Yeah.
Where crowds will be. And voting fraud is not a common thing because at best you're maybe getting one additional vote.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a thing that's going to work for getting the numbers that Republicans tend to suggest it does.
And they already count for margin of error anyway. Mm. So
I'd worry more about voting machines, to be brutally honest.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
By the way, so do you remember that story of the captain of that ship in the Navy? He tried to go through chain of command to warn them about the COVID-19 pandemic happening on his ship. They fucking did nothing, so he had to release a memo that ended up getting published by the San Francisco Chronicler, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, he was basically stripped of his command.
Yeah.
And then he contracted it.
Yeah. Of course, as he left the ship, you know, the sailors were chanting his name as he was leaving. And then the current acting secretary of the Navy tried to give his explanation. And I fucking love this because somebody fucking recorded like the reaction on the ship of as he was giving this. And he basically said that he may have just been stupid. And you can very, very clearly hear a random sailor in the background go, "What the fuck?"
I'm sure they were all thinking that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's going to be resigning.
I should hope so.
And aren't there like over 400 cases of COVID-19 on the ship now?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, overreaction there. Yeah. Yeah, that was a real overreaction by the captain, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of my hopes is that once Trump loses this coming election, whoever it is that will Biden comes in after him, it'll be one of his actions will be to return all of the titles to this captain.
Yeah.
Yep, and his post, if, you know.
He makes it.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. Hmm. Oh my God, this is true.
And if Biden does it, well, just one more soldier for the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Now for some mother bullshit. Over in Cleveland, there's the newspaper, the Cleveland Plain Dealer. They recently went through a pretty brutal series of layoffs that left only 14 full-time news staffers. Mm. And the owner of that particular paper has now told all those those reporters that they will no longer be covering any subjects revolving the city specifically, the county they're in, or the state. They're transferring all of that over to a different department that, by the way, also happens to be non-union.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah,
there
so
is
if you don't
fuckery
know,
about here.
Mm-hmm. Cleveland.com is the the website version of the paper, but it's the non-union version.
Yep.
The people that work there are not union.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's basically said, so Cleveland is in Cuyahoga County. But he said, you not cover Cleveland, Cuyahoga County, Summit County. It's also one of the other neighboring counties. Or any could no longer report on anything that might be deemed a statewide issue. Those vast content areas will now fall under the editorial jurisdiction of Cleveland.com. But they do have the ability to cover Geauga County, Lake County, Lorain, Medina, and Portage County, which are all sort of outlying counties, but not really relevant to the people in Cleveland that much. And they have their own papers if they want their local coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's basically saying, like, you know, either you do this bullshit or you can quit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
basically just playing that
that's some
kind of stupid game.
Yeah. Yeah, so some fuckery about.
I think only a couple have exceptions because they're covering like sports,
mm-hmm.
Kind of thing, and one of the writers can keep covering the region's art and architecture criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Another one can still cover regional travel, but that's about it. It's only four of them.
Yep. Yeah, so there is definitely some fuckery about. We'll see where that goes.
And I forget what the company is called that owns the paper, but it's one of those, you know, media conglomeration companies that's, you know, want to make everything super efficient and as profitable as possible.
Is it Evil Corp?
Something like that.
Yeah. All right, so now we got some sporting stories. First and foremost, Dana White apparently wanted to buy an island to host a UFC event, but he ended up canceling it at the last minute.
Yeah, it was going to be UFC 249.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to buy an island. I'm not sure where it was going to be at, but to host the fights from, I think, their international fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And because you couldn't find anywhere else to host it because every other sane place has said no public events like this.
Yep.
Which I guess he said, because he's calling this Fight Island.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not a
very creative individual.
Let's see, he said, don't worry about the financial part of this. You're going to get the fights on your contract, and I'm going to make things right with the people who are willing to step up and fight next weekend. I'm going to take care of as many people as I possibly can. We will be the first sport back. Fight Island is real. It's a real thing. The infrastructure is being built right now, and that's really going to happen, and it will be on ESPN. And I believe like the networks that work with them, like ESPN, and I forget what else, Fox maybe, are basically like, we can't be doing this shit right now.
No. Keep in mind, ESPN has been hurting to try and find some shit to cover.
They're basically doing lots of esports right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a whole weird thing. People are like, are they just fucking pulling some Bruce Lee shit here, just setting up a fucking island to fight, have people fight?
I don't know. They blew it by not calling it Total Fight Island.
Mm-hmm. And there's still time. He says they're building shit on the island. So
apparently.
Maybe they could put explosive collars on everybody and... Oh, wait.
Yeah.
At least it didn't get as far as Fire Festival.
Yeah. Well, technically, it didn't get anywhere either. So.
Well, that at least had people there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they had on the island was bullshit, but they got people there and took their money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
right now Dana White has lost his money so far.
Yeah.
Which is
We were talking about ESPN earlier. So, as you can probably guess, there isn't going to be a season of basketball. So, the NBA and ESPN decided, you know what? We're not going to fucking go out like a bunch of punk bitches. No. We're going to go on TV and we're going to host ourselves a horse tournament.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah, so they got a bunch of people. I don't know if they have the whole list here. Let's see. Okay, they got the quarterfinal matchups. It'll start on Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. They got, Trae Young, Tamika Catching. So they got WNBA people in this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Zach LaVine, Chris Paul, Allie Quigley, Paul Pierce, even some retired people, I guess, then. Mike Conley Jr. and Chauncey Billups. So yeah, if you also didn't know, they were having a tournament with NBA 2K20 with different players playing that, which is kind of wild. Just seeing ESPN trying all these weird shit after years of people being mad about them showing like Street Fighter tournaments on ESPN 2 or whatever.
Like, not hating it so much now, are you, motherfucker?
Yeah. I believe... Yeah, one of the players, Trae Young, who is not very tall, is basically tweeted, I was like, absolutely no dunking to his opponent. So yeah, they're going to be doing like remote horse tournaments where they are playing, you know, on the court they have at their home or whatever. Let's see. The title sponsor, State Farm, will donate more than $200,000 in support of coronavirus response efforts. So, all right, so...
Okay.
Something interesting.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Get some of these people doing something weird. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I can actually follow the fucking rules.
Yeah.
Don't make me thank you guys.
Yeah. And as for Major League Baseball, they basically decided that they're just going to sequester all the teams in the state of Arizona, and they're going to play the entire season in the spring training stadiums.
Yeah, this is the plan that was being floated earlier this week. It's changed a bit, at least right now. But their original plan that was sort of floating around was basically they're going to have all 30 teams, that's probably a few thousand players and staff, playing games in Arizona at with no fans at stadiums in the Phoenix area, which one of the places they do spring training at is in Arizona. The other's in Florida. So they'd be having, 10 spring training facilities and the Diamondbacks field there. And perhaps some others would be the ones they would play this for the length of time, however long the season would be, but at least for a few months. And it seems like, okay, you're going to sequester all these people away from their families for several months in the midst of all this shit that's going on. That's
not exactly the
best idea.
Yeah.
And it seems like they would only pick Arizona because, one, it's hot, and two, they haven't seemed like they've not really done much of a shutdown yet on this stuff. But the new plan they've floated, I think, as of today, involves them basically splitting the teams up into the divisions they use for spring training, which means like all the teams that play in Arizona would be in their divisions for that and have that be they just play those teams in their area. So it'd be about 15 each in Arizona and Florida. Play like a shortened schedule, then they would go into a playoff, and then the World Series would be the best of each of those groups, essentially, which is all kinds of weird shit. So nothing really has been decided yet. It's just all this stuff kind of floating around.
Yeah.
So next up. Apple's going to be making some of the shows on Apple Plus TV completely free during this pandemic. What shows are they going to be making?
Let's see. It is going to be the following programs are currently available to watch without an Apple TV Plus subscription is Wildlife Documentary, The Elephant Queen, Little America, the anthology series about immigrant life in America. Let's see. Servant, M. Night Shyamalan's thriller series about a couple mourning a tragedy.
Don't watch
that. Astronaut alternative history drama for all mankind. Let's see, Dickinson. Hipsters from the makers of Sesame Street, or Helpsters.
From Sesame Street. Hipsters, that would be a very different show.
Yeah. The Ghost Rider reboot and Snoopy in Space. Are going to be available for free. Let's see. Starting yesterday.
I'm assuming?
Through the app. It's on
So
Roku and Android and some of the other places, but like all you have to do is just download the app.
PS4, yeah. Xbox? Yeah, maybe?
I don't know.
You have to check what apps it's on.
I'll check, because I might watch that Snoopy one. So yeah, what is that? Don't watch the M. Night Shyamalan one? Who said that?
It's bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's M. Night Shyamalan, so, you know, it's like the first... The first, it builds and builds and builds to something that seems really interesting, and then he just doesn't...
Nope!
Okay, it seems like it's on Roku, Roku Players and TV, Fire TV, Samsung Smart TV, LG Smart TV, PC, Apple TV, iPhone, iPad, Mac, and AirPlay.
Okay, well, you can do it on PC. You can just use web browser. There you go.
You know what, Phil? Dude, don't say that to me right now.
Oh, there is a Micro Center nearby.
There is. No, I've got both of those TVs, so I can watch it on either one.
Yeah.
All right, and then SNL has decided that they're going to return April 11th with a stay-at-home version of the show. Well, how the fuck is this going to work?
The tweet they put up was kind of crazy looking. it was showing like them with their like webcams of this, and it's like, I have no clue how this is going to work, but
this is going to be a train wreck and will probably be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so our local school is doing this for their play,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be doing it all with their webcams from home. It is going to be Thursday, and I'm going to be drunk, and I'm going to watch this, and it's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to pull this off.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Well, it'll kind of be like the two Cuomo brothers. So where are you? Says the governor. I'm in my basement.
Mm-hmm.
He just like really takes the mickey out of him on that one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Disney Plus is getting a short film today starring Maggie Simpson.
Hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, it's something I think they were going to launch a little bit later, but they decided to release it early. It's called Maggie Simpson in Playdate with Destiny. Follows the one-year-old, pacifier-sucking daughter of the Simpsons family. She finds friendship with the baby on the playground while facing dangers in the park. Yeah, so... Mm. Seems like it could be a neat little thing.
Yeah. Now, given that it is the Simpsons, Maggie has been one for the past 25 years.
Yeah, so she should be old enough to both drive and drink at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw an interesting stat, so... how old Bart is at the beginning of the show in 1989.
Hmm.
If you aged him up to now, he'd be as old as Homer is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah. That's true.
That's how fucked up the timing is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next up, speaking of fucking devil, Tiger King is getting one more episode. Because those who don't know, Joe Exotic is out of jail now.
Mm.
He was released early because of the COVID-19 pandemic. It's funny, too, because he's, like, taking, like, commissions on Fiverr, where he gets people to, like, say stuff he wants, and one of them is him basically reading a speech that says communism is going to win.
Hey, if you want money.
But, so, yeah.
I guess it was revealed in a cameo video that's... Los Angeles Dodger player Justin Turner had him make to announce this, which is that's a weird whole situation.
Yeah.
Should be looked into because it is amazing.
Yeah.
Even though some of the people there do tend to charge a little bit much for what they're actually doing.
Yeah. It's the neat thing is you can watch most of the videos they make.
Mm-hmm.
For people that don't know, Cameo is essentially a site where like celebrities and semi-celebrities or whatever can set up an account and charge rates to do like personalized videos for people.
Yeah.
They can set up like rules or whatever they want for what they will or won't do. But there's a lot of people on there and you're like, oh yeah, of course that person's on this.
Mm-hmm.
Like people that just want every little dollar they can. And you're like, see other people are like, oh, you don't need this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's funny looking at some of the people that are on there. It's there's a lot of weird people just having to do weird shit.
Hmm.
Yeah,
like there was some story where somebody had paid. I forget who it was. It might have been like Rob Lowe or somebody to break up with their boyfriend or girlfriend, whoever it was. I forget what direction it went. It was Sugar Ray.
Hmm.
Mark McGrath having him do this, and people were like, people weren't sure if it was actually a real thing or a joke, just using him to do this as a joke. It was weird.
Hmm.
Cameo's weird.
Yes, it is.
It's pure weird capitalism.
Yeah, it's gonna be fucking weird to see if they manage to get Carol back in for one more interview, because she's had some shit to say ever since the documentary came out.
Yep.
She really does not like the way that show presents her.
From what I hear, it doesn't present anybody in a good light.
No. But see, here's the thing, though. Joe Exotic is so in love with the idea of being famous that he doesn't fucking care.
Yeah, that seems like the best way to go about it.
Yeah. Netflix is going to be debuting their Space Force series May 29th. We got the date and the cast list. It's basically a replacement for The Office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's co-created by The Office's Greg Daniels and star Steve Carell.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it is basically about, let's see, workplace comedy centered around the people tasked with creating a sixth branch of the armed services, the Space Force. So yeah, for the cast, they've got Lisa Kudrow, who plays Steve Carell's wife. Let's see, they got Maggie Nerd. Oh, that's her character. Let's see, where's the other people in this? They got John Malkovich, Diana Silvers, Tawny Newsome, Ben Schwartz are the stars. Kudrow is part of the recurring cast. Oh, Jimmy O. Yang, Noah Emmerich, Alex Sparrow, and Don Lake. And so, yeah, that'll be out late next month.
Yep.
So we're making comedies about an actual thing now.
Before it is actually out there.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote, actual thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we might as well make fun of it now, and hopefully it just doesn't materialize in real life. So maybe there's that.
And finally, right here, we got a trailer for the Netflix movie Extraction.
Which looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's it features Chris Hemsworth in it, who's like a black market mercenary who's supposed to rescue the kidnapped son of an international crime lord.
Hmm.
It looks pretty good. It's directed by Sam Hargrave. I'm not sure who that is. Looking it up. He worked on the Avengers movies, a bunch of the Marvel stuff. For stunts. Director, let's see. A bunch of shorts. Okay, seems like kind of going a John Wick kind of route.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's done stunts for many of the Marvel movies. And even X-Men stuff. A bunch of that kind of stuff. And so he's directing this. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense from the trailer. It looks very stunt heavy.
Yeah.
For what they're doing.
It looks like the kind of thing you'd find in a big summer blockbuster, but Now we're getting this stuff on Netflix.
And it's produced by Joe and Anthony Russo, mm-hmm. Russo brothers, who did at least the last two Avengers movies.
Yeah.
So they got big name behind it and probably recruited him for that reason, because he's really good at stunts.
Yeah, this is out in a couple of weeks, actually. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's out on April 24th,
yeah.
2 weeks from now.
I'll set my reminder so I can watch that.
Yes. All right. Well, then, I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks.
Indeed.
All right. So I'd like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. You can get in touch with us there via the show notes. We'll have it linked for you also on top of Apple Podcasts. You can also catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org. Or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not there, well, wait a few minutes. We'll be there pretty soon. I mean, where the hell else are you going to go? What, you got like a job to go to or something?
Mm. Yeah, most people, yeah.
Not 10% of America.
No, so far.
Not right now. Mm. With that, I have been your host with the most brain Perkins, and for Felipe Manofo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Samus, and Chris Eloge, good night.